Thank you very much. Thank you. You guys can take a seat. I just felt while I was praying before the service, just before we do that, who was in Standerton this morning, over the weekend? Fantastic. Better einders. Thank you so much for all your hard work. We really appreciate everything. Just so many of you went through. A lot of them are probably still at the road, on the road or recovering, sleeping from a long weekend. Busy weekend at Standerton. It was a good time. Amen. Who enjoyed it? Who's going the next time we do a church launch? Huh? Many more to come. We're excited. God's opening doors and we're praying through and just trusting God for the right timing as He opens the doors for us to plant churches. Because hopefully most of you know that's part of the vision, that's part of what God really laid on our hearts to reach nations and generations by making disciples, training leaders, and planting churches. And it was such an incredible weekend just being with all the Standerton people this morning and over the weekend just being able to share and celebrate and just pray over the city. Thank you so much for all of you who were there. And who walked here in the rain? Anybody? Special bonus for you. You will have your reward in heaven. On the way home, you can sing in the rain or just ask someone for a lift. I'm sure they'll be willing to give you a lift home. But as I was praying, I just felt God just laying on my heart that more than He wants me to preach this evening, He wants to speak through the church. And as we were praying just now for each other, I really want to encourage you, make a point of doing that regularly. Obviously, we try and facilitate it as far as possible in small groups, just coming together and praying together, sharing life together, the struggles, the joys, the fun in life. And next week, I'm going to speak a little bit just about church. Just this thing that we call church here, because there's so much stuff going on about church, should church, what church, where church. Just a whole bunch of really weird stuff that's floating around in people's minds. And next week, I'm just going to speak a little bit about the importance of church in our lives. Because if there's one thing I know on this earth, two things. Firstly, is that Jesus Christ is Lord. And secondly, is that He's building Himself a church. And it's been the most precious gift He's given me in my life. The church of God. And next week I'm going to speak a little bit about that. Just share just the importance. So if you know people, if you've got friends who are struggling around this church context, maybe they're floating around from church to church and they don't quite understand why they should be in a specific church. Or maybe they just have questions around church. Bring them along next week and morning and evening service, both of them in English. We're going to just be speaking around this, the importance of church in our lives. But Alice, I know she came and said just now she wants to say something. So Alice, you can come up. And then specifically while she's coming up, if you've got a testimony in your life, what I mean by that is if something good has been happening in your life, you just want to say thank you to God and share what God's been doing in your life, I want to encourage you, you can come forward so long. We're going to take a bit of time and just share about the goodness of God in our lives. So if that's you, you can stand up and just come and stand so long in the queue on Alice's left-hand side here. Anyone who wants to come and just thank God for His goodness. Hopefully there's someone who knows that God is alive.
I had a vision now when we were worshipping. God was moving around and He was placing a cloak on everyone and a crown and touching your face and saying, you are my daughter and who I'm well pleased. You are my son and who I'm well pleased. You are my daughter. And He was moving around to everyone. And I just felt so strongly we must let go of this whole slave mentality because we are daughters and sons of the Creator of the universe. So.
Amen. Thanks, Alice. Isn't that cool that the God who created everything is your daddy?
Hi, good evening, everybody. About 4 weeks ago, one Sunday morning, JP was preaching on just on God and how the devil wants to come and steal and how He comes in different forms. And I started feeling funny in my face that morning. It was so weird. So, at the end, JP asked everybody to come forward if you want people to pray for you for healing. Came to the front, and little Dean prayed with me, and left it like that. Rest of the day, face kept on tingling. It felt so funny. That evening, I started having sores on my chin. my cheeks started to swell a little bit. But anyway, so I thought, okay, maybe I'm just getting a bad rush of acne or something. I don't know. Monday morning, I was starting to swell really in my face. I work at a clinic, so I quickly dropped in at one of the doctors, but my teeth were so sore, and I'm a dentist, so I quickly, Monday morning, I went to the clinic, took some x-rays. I felt like I needed a root canal in every tooth, just on the one side. It was crazy. I thought the patient cursed me or something, you know. So, couldn't find anything. Teeth were healthy, nothing wrong. My teeth were so sore, and I started to swell in my face. Went to the doctor. He said, no, bad case of sinusitis. Okay, fine. After that, but I was feeling a little bit headache, a little bit feverish. I went to the office. Went there. I said, Heinrich, I don't know. The sermon of yesterday is still stuck in my head. So can you guys just pray with me? I don't know if it's Satan or if it's me sick or whatever, what's going on. He and Alistair just laid hands on me. That evening at intercession, I also just felt that we must just pray for people that's feeling sick, and they laid their hands on me again. Tuesday morning, my one part of my face, the whole right side of my face, was totally swollen. I couldn't almost see through my eyes. But I still went to work. When I got there, everybody was like, oh my word, you're not going to work today. Please, we're going to just move your patients. You can't see people like that. I went to another doctor, and the moment he saw me, he said, no, I'm sorry, you've got shingles. Now, shingles is when you had chickenpox, it comes back, and then you get a case of shingles. It's also fever blisters, and it forms terrible sores and scars, and it becomes a big course on your face. And, well, the problem is, if you have it in your face, like I got it, you don't want it close to your eye, because if it, the moment it goes into your eye, you can actually become blind. And anyway, so I just asked all my friends to keep on praying. And that Thursday, my eye was so close, I thought, I rushed back to the doctor, just had him check my eyes, because I was really scared that it was in my eye and that something terrible can happen. And anyways, he checked it out. He said, no, don't worry. Everything is fine. And then from then on, by Friday, you could totally see the difference in my face. The swelling started to go off. Usually, you can walk with shingles for up to 6 weeks. I had it for 1 week, symptoms. The rest, after a week, the next week, Monday, I was at a wedding on the Sunday, so the Monday, all the swelling was gone. I still had a bit of a red rash in my face, no marks, nothing, and I can only give glory to God.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I just really want to share the goodness of God this weekend with the Stanerton launch. Last week, I really didn't know how I was going to get to Stanerton, what I was going to eat, nothing. I didn't have any money in my bank account. And I was sitting there just saying, Lord, I really want to go. You know this is my heart's cry. Please just provide for me. And on Wednesday, a friend of mine had been paid for to go to Stanerton. And she suddenly canceled. And she was like, no, I'm not going anymore. Just take my place. And I was like, well, okay. And if I had the money, I would have only gone on Saturday. And then I found out that I could actually go for the entire weekend and that I'd gotten a t-shirt for free. So I was like, what? And God was just so amazing. And after that, I was like, Lord, okay, so what are we going to eat? And then we got there, and I swear, like, I barely paid for any of my meals. None of my meals did I have to pay for. I probably paid about 15 rand throughout this whole weekend. And that's just the provision of God over my life. So I just want to give glory to God. Amen.
All right. Mine is a very simple testimony. Like, I remember for many years, I used to envy people that would be giving testimonies because I had issues with me not being able to give my testimony. But this year has been great for me. And God has restored so many relationships within my life and build new relationships. So I just want to thank God for a lovely family, loving friends, good brothers, and yeah, That's it. Thank you.
I'm going to quickly, because it's a long line. Monday was past, I injured my knee and I was on crutches. I couldn't walk. And the Friday I stunted on launch. Sean and some other people prayed for me. And yeah, the next day I could walk. And a few hours later I was jumping around catching balloons. Glory to God.
I just want to testify about God's faithfulness in, you know, in bringing people closer to Him. Three of my younger brothers and sisters about 3 weeks ago gave their lives to the Lord, and they, 14 and 12 and 12, and they actually responded to an altar call and just made that commitment, and they're thinking about baptism and everything now. So that's really great. And two of my cousins that are staying at our house, that their lives are totally a mess and into porn and everything like that, they also just gave their lives to the Lord, and their lives have changed around. My oldest cousin has a job now, and you know, God is just good, and He really comes through.
Hello, you guys. I've had this crazy week. I can't even start to explain it. Like crazy. And last week Friday, I found out that I had to hand in my thesis this Friday. Like, we didn't get a pre-warning or anything, so I was kind of freaking out already. I was up to date and everything. But so then I wanted to start working on the Friday. I'm like, okay, that's cool, I'm going to start. And I look at my PC and it's gone. It's just gone, okay? It's like 120 pages. And it's my whole year's work. And I started to like kind of cry a little bit. And then I prayed and I was looking and I'm like, no, don't worry, it'll be in my recycle bin. It's going to be somewhere. And it wasn't there. So I cried and I cried. And then eventually I found out I have a flash drive, Addie Style. She's like my neighbor. So I was like, it has to be on there. Because I always save it on two places, on my PC and then on two flash drives, because I'm paranoid. So, like, really paranoid. I don't want to lose my thesis. And so what happened was, I found out it was there, but she was gone for the weekend, and she only came back on Monday afternoon. So, went over on Monday afternoon. I wasn't stressed. I'm fine. Get the flash drive. I want to start working. Not on the flash. So I start crying, like, again, and I just cried and cried because, oh, my word. And, okay, but I'm like, okay, it has to be in my recycle bin. Look again. Not there. The past 6 months, things are there, but it's not there. Oh, okay. So I actually want to start crying again. I was freaking out so much, but anyway. So so I started looking around and around, and I went through the things, like, 10 million times, and it wasn't there. And, okay. Everyone started phoning me like, don't worry, we'll help you retype it. Because I have printed versions of things that have been mocked throughout the year. So I started calming down a little bit, but once I started typing, I started crying again. But anyway, so. And then I remembered that like one of my flash drives was at Warren because I got like band songs and stuff. So, but I knew it wasn't on there. I knew, but I was just like, oh, my soul. No, I don't have his number. So Sarah phones him and like he looks on the flash. It's not there. Start crying again. And then eventually, like, my neighbor, Estelle, she's like, okay, let's just go. Let's just go and get it because you're going to feel better. I'm like, I'm not going to feel better. But I go there, and I'm, like, kind of, like, hiding myself away because I'm like, oh, my word, I've been crying for 6 hours. So I get the flash, get back to the flat, put it in the computer. Not there. Okay, not there. So Sarah goes through my whole PC. And then Lindy goes through my whole PC. Everyone was going through it, like, and I was just crying. And so my sister's boyfriend, sorry, it's a long story. My sister's boyfriend phoned me because he's into IT. And he's like, oh, have you looked here? Have you emailed that? I'm like, no, no. And as I'm talking to him, I put that same flash drive that Warren had into the PC again, and it's there. It was not there, you guys. God put it back. So I'm like, hallelujah. And that's basically it. Yeah, I'm just really, really happy. But yeah, okay.
Hi, I'm going to try and keep it short as well. I don't know. I've shared this before, but I just felt that I'm going to share it again. Throughout like a long time, let's say a year, I've been struggling with fears a lot. And it's stuff in my past that had happened and like stuff that really, I was literally struggling so much with fear that I would stand somewhere and I would be surrounded by fear. I just go crazy. I was paranoid. I had to lock all the doors. I had to do random stuff, which is not really, I know it's not how God made me and it's not my personality. And I drove my husband crazy. But anyway, so I struggled with these fears. And then throughout the year, I tried and I tried. I was like, God, I know all of these things. But as you all can probably relate, like sometimes you know stuff and you read it in the Bible and people tell you. But if it's not in your heart and you haven't decided to really believe it in your spirit, then it just doesn't drop. And even though I read Psalm 91 and I read everything that says, you know, God will not leave you, He will not forsake you, and you can hide in a secret place, I just keep on feeling all of this. Like, I'm so scared. And I know, like, throughout this year, I knew it was a root of something else, but I couldn't figure out what it was because I tried everything. And every time I would come to the front and they would pray for me, it would be a little bit better. Anyway, so about 4 weeks ago, I came to the front and I asked someone to pray for me. And she said, she was like, listen. She grabbed me on the shoulder. She's like, stop crying. Just for a second. It's kind of hardcore. I'm like, how can you tell me to stop crying? And she grabbed me on the shoulder. She's like, just for a minute, just let God drop in your spirit the lies that you believe about Him. That's not true. So I start praying and I'm like, very dim of God. And she's like, no. Not from your mind, from your spirit. So I'm like, okay. And I just let go. I started to let go. And the next moment, God just drops two words. And He's like, trust. And distrust and fear. So I start praying and I realize that I believe, even though I think that I believe that God will protect me and that God is trustworthy, I don't really believe it. So I renounce the lies and, cause I struggle to let go, I struggle to relax. And, so she prays for me and she's like, let go. And I just kind of fall on my back in the spirit and I just let go, lying here and everything really cool. And she like, I felt pretty weird, not going to go into details, and she just said, spirit of infirmity, leave her. And I'm like, okay, spirit of infirmity just left me. What the hell does infirmity mean? So now the Monday morning, the whole year I've been struggling to get into God's presence, and I felt that, like, in the beginning when I got saved, it was so easy to come into His presence. I would be like a little child just running, and like, wham, there He is. And I struggled with that. It was like kind of, I thought I was grown up. I thought I was supposed to be grown up. I thought I was smart, maybe. Newsflash. Anyway, so the Monday morning I sit at God's feet and it's just there again. I'm like, oh, you're back. It's like I can see Him and smell Him and feel Him and taste Him and everything again. I'm like, I can't believe this. So now I'm still like, God, am I allowed to go look what infirmity means? Am I supposed to just trust You now? Or can I go look what infirmity means? Because I don't understand the word. And then the Monday evening, we're eating at some like family people. And so I ask Him, can You please look like what does infirmity mean? And I check on His Google thing that understand PC stuff. But anyway, so He's there on the computer and He's showing me like a detailed description of what the word means. And it says that like the definition is a weakness, but more specifically a weakness of character. It could be a bodily ailment because I actually came to the front because I had a headache. So then the rest went on. And then it says in the end, usually brought on by old age. So I'm like, okay. So, what is it? Because it's highlighted, the old age part. And I'm like, okay, so what does this mean? And I was a little bit confused. And the Tuesday morning, I sit there, and God just drops in my spirit that I want you to be like a child in my presence. And the moment that you're not like a child, that's when you start thinking that things can hurt you and not trust me. And God told me, it's okay to be scared because you're not perfect. But don't try to fight the being scared. Just run to me. And just this whole weekend, God just spoke like more and more and more. Like, I would never be like this. Maybe some of you are, but today I walked out into the thunder because I've got like an analytical mind. So I want to figure out stuff. So now I walk out into the thunder and the lightning and everything. So immediately I want to tell Michael, let's just run to the car and get in the car because the lightning could strike. And I'm like, as I walk, I want to say this. And the next moment God is like, I'm in control of the lightning and I'm your daddy. So why are you scared? And I'm like, hold on. What? So now I knew this. I know He's my father and I know He controls the lightning. So why do I keep on running away from stuff that I'm scared of? Because God is like, if someone attacks you, you don't understand. If someone attacks you and you allow me, I can let them drop down flat on their face and you could be standing there. Just allow me to be everything that you need to be. Like your protector, your vindicator, your father. The one that's always there. So I just want to encourage everyone that God is so much bigger than all of us can imagine. So be like a little child and just believe everything that He says in the Word because it's true.
Okay, I'm not exactly a fan of standing in front, but this is a very short testimony about a very long period of time. I believe it's called third year syndrome, because a lot of people that I know also happen to have it. And you get into your third year, and it kind of annihilates you a little bit. And that happened to me this year, because I'm studying dentistry. For the first and second year, it was mostly theoretical work. And then third year comes, and a theory mixed with practical. And the practical is a bit challenging. And, like, first semester was really, really bad. I really wanted to quit dentistry and never come back and all that type of stuff. And then myself started praying for me, and I suppose this is mostly a testimony about myself. It was absolutely amazing. I go, just pray, lay hands on me and pray. And then I wound up getting distinctions in things that I was really struggling with, and it was just amazing. God totally came for you. And I suppose the second day, oh, that's the testimony. It doesn't sound very great, but it's very, very diluted, because if I had to give a testimony every time God came for me for the industry, I would have to come up here every single week. It was absolutely amazing. And then I started watching Heroes, which is not exactly the best series to watch, I know. But but I was so amazed by all these people, and they had these fantastic superpowers. And then there was a point when I realized God has all these superpowers. Okay, he's not human, I know that, but he has all these superpowers, and we have access to him. They're not like floating around somewhere in the world and no one doesn't know where they are. So it's just, it's amazing, because you're also wowed by all these people that have these super amazing abilities. And then if you just see God, you're like, wow, you know, he's got all of these worlds into one. It's absolutely fantastic.
How's it going, guys? That is so awesome, God. We want to just pray. I can't pray, but I just want to testify to the power of the healing God. And last time I came here, I told you about my huge ankle injury, but I'm going to tell you something about something that's always been bothering me in my sport career. As you guys know, I'm a sportsman and stuff like that, but something that's been always bothering me is about I've always asthma. And basically, asthma, you know the symptoms of asthma, but I always scream and praying before a game, please do not bother me and stuff like that, and let's carry it on. And at the end of the game and stuff like that, the symptoms will come back and stuff like that. And Pastor Sears came there, and he said, if I'm going to pray about a healing God, then healing's going to happen. And God told me that morning that he's going to do something profound. So I was really excited in the spirit and stuff like that, that morning. And Pastor Sears came there, and he started speaking in the spirit. And basically what happened, he says, is there somebody we need to heal with asthma, and God wants to heal asthma now at this moment. And I stepped right in front, and for that 10 minutes, basically, I felt God's presence. And now, after that, you just so overflowed with God's love and stuff again. Like, you ask yourself, is that true? So, a madman asked me, and he asked me to do a challenge, and to do Iron Man, the half Iron Man, and to see how powerful and full and great God is. And I've been training like a madman, and so far and so forth, I've had no asthma symptoms and stuff like that, and basically the asthma has just totally gone. It's been a generational curse from families to families, and the asthma has just disappeared like that. I have no symptoms and stuff like that, and I'm as fit as an ox, so thank you. A powerful God.
Right. Well, my testimony is actually from last week. Just in the morning, I didn't actually get to church. I was here in the morning, but I was spending time with the Lord, and he asked me to be silent. And I struggled with being silent for quite a while. I've got quite an active mind, and I like to think about stuff, but he challenged me to be just silent. And while I was just being silent, he actually then showed me, he gave me a few words. He just said, let go. And I said, okay, God, I'll let go. And then I didn't know what it meant, but throughout the day, I was just thinking about it and praying about it, and then he started showing me stuff of just who I thought I wanted to be, who I thought deep in myself, in my own dreams and my own abilities that I thought I would have had in my own self, who I wanted to be one day, and even relationships, friendships I had with people. He basically said what are you desiring out of those, and I want you to let those go. And And then I said, okay, Lord, I'll let those things go. And then I was sort of at a place of not sure what it all meant. And then on Sunday evening, came to basically just worship here and lift the Lord's name up. And as we were just singing here, he said, I want you to now hold on. And I was like, okay, I'm ready. I'll hold on. I've let go now. I'm ready to hold on. And as I was just singing, I've often just worshiped the Lord with my hands up. And he said, it's right in front of you. You just need to hold on to it now. And then he said, it's my cross. He said, hold on. Because this is it. I want you to hold on to the cross. And it just blew me away that this is what it's about. He wants us to hold on to his cross. And that everything we have in ourselves is not good enough. He wants us to hold on to the cross. And that is enough. Yes.
Okay, so I just want to testify of God's healing power. For a long time I had this pain in my stomach, also something of, felt like appendix or something, I don't know. And I went through a bit of a low time, and I remember thinking, how am I going to have faith that God's going to heal me, because I believe God heals. And so, Heinrich was preaching, and he was saying, oh, somebody feels that someone with a stomach pain was coming to the front, and somebody prayed for me, and immediately it was gone. And I remember just, at that moment, just believing again that God can heal. So, just going to give God all the glory.
Hi. So I had this, I study accounting, and it's pretty tough. So I always try and study all the time. Okay. It doesn't work. So, like I was lying, I always ask God, like, just challenge me, like, with stuff, like, because we always think we're perfect, but we're not. So it's like, I think you're making time like a God. And I'm like, I went to myself, like, can like time become like a God? We're discussing it, and like I really realized that like time was controlling my life. Like I was rushing from one thing to another, and it's just like I had this freaking thing in my stomach. Like it was always like this ball. And like since God has just showed me that, like he's really showed me he's in control of time as well. Like you don't have to worry, and like if you try and do everything and try and be perfect, like you're just gonna burn out, and like that stress baliki is just gonna stay there, man. And the other thing as well with I was also healed my shoulder last week. But it wasn't like normal healing. I don't know how to say. But normally you come up and you get healed and it's over and done with, you know? And I came up and this guy prayed for me and my shoulder felt better. And then I went to gym the next day and it was pretty bad again. And my girlfriend was like if you're gonna keep on talking about like the sector, it's just gonna stay there. So I was like, okay, focus. It's gonna go away. It's gonna go away. And I prayed and it did go away. So yeah, just focus. Like even if things don't, cause we're in a society where everything has to happen now. Otherwise we don't believe in it, you know? Like, you have to have faith and like really push through. So.
Hello, family. Let's try that again. Hello, family. She did that right. Last time I tried that, and I was a bit more on time. But nonetheless, last time I shared, I think it was last week, it's becoming a habit, I asked you all to put up your hands. And I saw so many of you put up your hands, and I was just reminded sitting in my chair that we are part of a global family, and there's something in that. Sometimes we come to church, and it's just about shofar and our little experience with God. But there's something beautiful about tapping into that, about tapping into this global, Catholic is a word. It's not the Roman Catholic Church, but the word Catholic means that there's a global body, a comprehensive body, and there's something about that, knowing that you're part of a body going through the same thing sometimes, because sometimes we feel so alone. And the question I asked you last time was, how many of you feel that you're just failing at this relationship? You know, how many of you feel that you can't really get to it, and it's just at arm's length from you? And I think so many of you put up their hands. And it was just a reflection of we're all going through very similar things. And getting distractions here. Ryan, sit down. And so this week, I have a little bit of a testimony, and testimonies are there to encourage you too, because like I said, we're part of this one big family, and what one goes through, I'm almost willing to put money on that about 50% of you are going to be going through at the same time, and let it encourage you. Many of you went to Standerton this weekend, and it's easy to shine in moments like that. It's easy to reach out and feel useful in the kingdom, and you're blazing a trail for God, and then you get back and you're just you again. You take off your Superman vest and you put it away for the next outreach. And you just cannot, yeah, it's true. We feel like that. We feel like Superman on mission. How many of you feel like that? Put up your hands again. Come on. Mission, you feel like Superman. Am I right? Away from mission, you feel just ordinary. And you feel plain and you feel ineffective and not very useful. And this will test me. It's very small. But nonetheless, when you avail yourself to God's changing, and it's a little bit of an echo of what might be said tonight, it's a little sign there saying redemptive agent. When you avail yourself to being used by God, despite your weaknesses, when you go, God, I know I'm the thing that's not. How many of you pray that really? I do regularly. I'm the thing that's not, God, but you are, and you are inside me. You are the hope of glory, and do something with me, because your grace is enough for me to get this thing done. Saturday night, when many of you were out in Standerton blazing a trail, I'm sitting at home on the internet, not very glorious. You know, I'm sitting there on Facebook and Skype, and nonetheless, I have a friend in England. And I've been sharing with her about God recently. She's a young girl, and I've been sharing, just piling into her life. And I got into this really strange conversation, I think it was the day before or so, with her, and it went really sour. And she started calling me, she said that I was part of a cult, and that sounds familiar, Shofar, right? And but she was meaning Christianity, and she wasn't meaning Shofar. And you know, the next time I got online, she said, but that wasn't me. It was a friend of mine who had sort of usurped my Facebook. Now, I'm of the age that I didn't really know you can do that. So all you young techies know you can actually, like, get somebody else's handle on. Nonetheless, I was having a conversation with a total stranger who actually happens to live, you know, she's in England. He lives down the road in Joburg. And he's a young guy by the age of 19. And I'm having a conversation with a guy I have no idea. And I'm piling in there with every bit of, you know, doctrine I can into his life. The next time I'm online, I get to have a conversation with this guy. He actually wants to speak to me on Skype. And so last night, Saturday night, while you guys were out there, in a strange hour of the night, I'm sitting sharing God with this unbeliever who's really asking questions. He's only 19 years old, and he desperately wants to talk to me. And I think the story there is that even when you feel weak and you don't feel strong, if you put your faith in God to use you as a redemptive agent, he'll make the most amazing stories happen around you. And it's like that movie, if you build it, they will come. I think it's called Field of Dreams. And if you avail yourself, they will come, and God will throw them at you. I mean, you don't really have to try. I mean, there's a 19-year-old in Joburg right now who's got a relationship with me. And let me just give you a little shout-out about Bible school. It's so strange, but this becomes a living reality in you when you walk with God in this way, when you go, use me. Things that you start to learn become very effective immediately in the world. And this guy started asking questions. About a week ago, Billy was talking to us about apologetics, and my goodness, those questions were coming in real time from this guy. I was able to just, I know the answer to that. I know the answer to that. That's so cool. That's exciting. I actually told him. I said, oh, I was sitting, you know, in Bible school just the other day. And so if you're feeling that way, if you're feeling ordinary, and you're thinking, I haven't shared the gospel with anybody, and I'm useless at this, and I don't think I can change the world. Entrust your life to God. Entrust your usefulness to God. And he will send them in strange wee hours of the night on some dodgy Facebook or whatever it may be. But don't be surprised if they come that way.
Hi, I'm studying musical theater. I'm 3 weeks away from finishing studying musical theater, which is a testimony in itself. But so in order to study musical theater, you have to sing all the time. And in my first year, a lot of people know, because I wasn't allowed to speak for about 5 months because I got nodules on my vocal cords, which means there are these little things and it's a long story. But basically, I was put on vocal rest for 5 months. Erica, actually, while she was still here, told me the one day that she thought I was mute because I wasn't allowed to speak to anyone. So anyway, and then my second year, they kept coming back, and they're not permanent, but they kept coming back. So it was like a recurring injury type of thing. And my voice is still very sensitive. I think they're gone. I haven't been back to check. But my voice is healthier now. But then in third year,
I was actually advised by my singing teacher and my audiologist and whatever to not do shows at all. And the shows at TUT are sort of the basis of our training. You know, everything that we learn in the year gets applied in the show. So I didn't do shows at all in third year, which is actually such a blessing because I could do Bible school and get involved in church and everything, which was wonderful. But then this year, my final year, fourth year, I decided I was going to do the end of year show so that I can actually figure out if my voice is going to last in the industry, seeing as I'm going there next year. And so I did the show and I got quite a big role, and so I had to sing the whole show. And what was amazing for me is that, and I only started realizing it towards the end of the run, I always, because my voice is always, you know, you learn how to see, it, like a normal injury, you learn, okay, it's sort of sore now, okay, there's something wrong, I must take care, you know. So I've gotten used to my voice and gotten used to when, oh, it's going now, I must just rest or whatever. And you can't really rest when you're the lead and singing every single song almost. So every time before I went on stage, I'd just be like, Lord, please hold my vocal cords together in your hand because they're not going to survive otherwise. And like almost one of the last nights when we were coming on for our bow at the end of the show, I realized, wow, the industry, well, the theater industry is one of the only places where you get publicly acknowledged for the work that you've done every single night. And it's so easy to become big-headed and think that it's all about me, but through the all 4 years, I've realized now how God's just been showing me that I can't do it without Him and humbling me and showing me, okay, so you've gotten this gift, but you've gotten it for my glory, not for your glory. And so the last few nights when I came on for my bow, it was such a peace, such a wonderful, well, I'm bowing now, but you're not actually, you know, clapping for me. You're clapping for the God that's been holding my vocal cords together because they wouldn't be held together without Him. And so, and every night before starting the show, I just have such wonderful quiet times with God, sitting there in the wings, you know, on a little chair so that the audience can't see me, and just praying and being like, well, Lord, let's try it tonight because I don't know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. And if you don't help me, well, I can't sing. So I'm really excited now to go into the industry with that. And I'm so glad that I've been humbled through these 4 years, because if I wasn't, I'd still be thinking it's all about me. So I just want to praise God for humbling me.
Hi, can you hear me? okay, well, I just remembered something this week. When was it? I think it was last week or this week. I got back one of my papers for mathematical statistics. I'm studying actuarial science this year. And no, it's not fun. Yeah, but I came into this year very scared. I wasn't prepared, like I thought I was, but I got to the first semester, I was like, nah. So it was really difficult. And this one subject, mathematical statistics, has been troubling me from the very beginning. It's probability, statistics, mathematics, yeah. And so I got a sup at the end of the first semester, and I was not happy. I was just like, no, this is not me. So second semester, I was like, okay, this is not going to happen again. I have to get distinctions now. This is not going to happen. So after the first part of first semester test, I studied. Nothing happened. It was still like C's and D's. I'm just like, no, it's not happening. So I kind of gave up, actually. I was just like, okay, maybe this is not for me anymore. Like, I've been thinking about actuarial science since grade 9. And I was thinking, okay, maybe God's like saying, okay, do something else. So many times this year I've been thinking of changing. Like second semester tests are coming around the corner. I was like, okay, let's study again. And I really wanted to do well in stats, at least get above a D. And so I got my paper back. I think it was last week or this week, earlier this week. I can't remember. And like the lecturer, she put the papers while we were discussing something in class, and I saw her put them up. I'm like, oh dear. And then like when the class finished, everyone rushed to get their papers. I just sit in my seat and was like, oh dear. I really was expecting to do badly because before that paper, I was just like, I didn't feel prepared at all. Yet for like my first semester test, I'd studied for days and I didn't do as well as I would have liked to. So before the second semester test, I just sat there and I was like, Lord, I don't feel prepared, but just let me write. Okay, at least write something. So I wrote the paper, I walked out, I'm like, okay, if I get a D, I'll be happy. So, I sat in my chair and I'm just waiting. Okay, let me just go get my paper. So I walk slowly, go to the B section, because my surname starts with a B, and then I pull out the papers, take out the first paper, and then I see mine, I'm like, huh? Surely not. So I think I stood there for like, I don't know, 10 seconds, just staring at my paper. I took it, ran to the bathroom, and I just cried. Because I was just like, Lord, I don't know what happened. I don't know what you did, because it's not me. It definitely was not me, because I don't know how, like, I sat in that paper just thinking, okay, I'm really going to fail. So, yeah, I was just so excited. I was just beyond excited. I wanted to call my mom immediately, and she was, like, celebrating, and she cooked some rice with chilies and stuff. I like spicy food. So I had some real curry at home. But I was just, wow. I just thought of it now, and I was just thinking, I'm so grateful that finally something is showing the hard work I've been putting in. And I'm just like, Lord, it's only you. Because before I'd been stressing and working hard, and I don't know what happened this time. I was just like, it can only be God, only. So, yeah. Thank you.
Hi, guys. At the end of this year, I will be a chemical engineer. And... So my life's been kind of crazy because in the beginning of my first year, I had to change my subjects because I was going to study music and I took a year off, and then I changed to chemical engineering. In my first year, I went on this crazy camp, and it was Shofar's camp, and I got saved there. And it was my first sort of close walk with God, and throughout the years, He just shaped me and molded me because my parents have been very poor. My father's a disability pensioner, so he could never pay or afford my studies. And each year, it's just crazy that money came from nowhere. I remember getting textbooks, getting money, like 3,000 rand in my bank accounts. No one knows where it came from. And then I have a guy paying for me now that's just randomly picked me to pay for my studies and to pay for all my debt and everything. So I don't have to pay anything for my degree. My parents haven't put a cent towards my degree, so it's kind of crazy, and I just want to glorify God with that. And this year, for the first time, like, I went and spoke to my dad about, you know, just my heart, and, you know, at the end of our 1 hour conversation, I was just like breaking down to him, and he said to me, he's just so proud of me and he loves me so much. Like, just those were his words to me, and yeah, it's just crazy how God just, through these 5 years, just changed my life around how I think of my parents now, how I think of God, and you know, I just want to give Him all the glory for that.
Hi there, everyone. Most of you guys in the cell have heard this story, but I'm now first year studying engineering, and I took 2 years gap year, and I was in England for the first year, came back, worked for my father, and then it was like, okay, are you going to work another year? Am I going to work another year or go and study? And I was like, okay, what do I want to study? And I thought, no, engineering. And I was like, my marks wasn't that good. And I had science on standard grade still. And I was like, okay, it won't hurt if I take another year off. And I was like, okay, God, you know, I wanted to go. I first thought of studying theology. So, and then I said, okay, now, if it's your will that I'm going to study engineering, because I could have studied at the technical, and I thought, no, I'm going to want to study at the university. And I was like, okay, God, because if the only way I can get on high grade now was because you need high grade for university. And it was like an R, basically, matric science on high grade. And I was like, okay, if it must happen, then I get into it and be able to write it. And phone the school, everything they said, no, they'll let me know. And they never let me know. And 2 months later, like my dad phones again. He's like, and Ed said, no, I speak to this lady. And she said, no, it basically closed already. And I was like, okay, God, seriously, if you want me to study engineering and, you know, then I must be able to write science. And it was the 3rd of May or some beginning of May. The Monday morning, I went to drop my brother off at school. And the ladies, I asked her, have she heard anything? She said, no. And when I got home, back to work, my mother said, no, phone the teacher. You know, oh, the lady, she said, I must phone her. And she phoned her, she said, no, I can write science over. In end of May or beginning June. So I was like, I'm seriously happy. And I was like, oh, cool. And I phoned everybody up to get books. And I know this is seriously from God because he said it was basically closed. Next day, she phoned, she said, the senior, my mother said, are you sitting or standing? She said, I said, I'm standing. She said, sit down. You're writing science. Next week, Friday, physics, and the day after, other Monday, the chemistry part. I was like, okay, whoa, God, now seriously, now you must help. And you got me into this, so, and I stay in Maltino, so it's about 300 km from Barclay East. So the next day, I got in the car, and we phoned this other lady up, and she's like, okay, and she'll help me with it, everything to get it to know everything the right way. And she stays in Barclay. So I drove through to Barclay, booked myself into a bed and bed and breakfast, yeah. And I went there, and she said, no, she can't help me anymore, it's family stuff. And on my way to there, I stopped at just the town lady gave before it, because our science teacher gave school there, and I spoke to her and told her what's happening, and so I got books from her. And at the end, basically, I went to Rome and write science, and applied to the university, and we know a lady that works here, and she put my application just aside and everything, and I got my marks back, and she said, no, I've passed. And when I got science on standard grade, I got a C 60%. When I got my marks back on higher grade, it was a C 66%. Exactly the same. So yeah, I just want to praise God. And since then, he's just blessed me throughout this year with my studies. So yeah, glory to God.
Hello. I was going to sit down, but I just felt like it would be such an injustice to sit down when God has done so many great things for me this year, especially. Because, I'm first year studying biochemistry, and, yeah, coming to university without a bursary is, I don't know, it's one of those things. So now, like, this year, I came through, and I was in res without a bursary, and only my mother's working, she's a teacher, but I'm standing here now, and I was able to have all my fees paid up. I had everything on time. I never lacked anything. And I was able to enjoy myself this year. So I just want to thank God more especially for that. And I want to thank God that I have found my spiritual home here in Shofar. I'm just so thankful that, you know, I'm part of a family, that I'm part of something bigger, and that God's plan for my life is so huge. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, guys. It's just so encouraging to hear that the God we serve is alive. And He's involved in our lives day to day. It doesn't matter how big or small we think it is. If it's important to us, it's important to Him. And just very quickly, I know time is well spent already, just want to read one passage of scripture. Because, as Ed said just now, as you and I sit here, how many of you are one of the only people in your family that's saved, that knows Jesus? A couple of you, how many of you are one of the only people in your class, or your commune, or your community, your social community that know God? A couple of us, most of us, I think, are sort of somewhere in between that, where I know in my family, it's so weird, on my mom's family, everyone's saved, on my dad's side, no one is saved, and depending on where we go in life, in companies, in workplaces, as wherever we may be, in our classrooms, in our communes, in our residences. A large amount of us, or many of us as we sit here today, we're the only one or the only one or two of us in that area who know Jesus. But the amazing thing is wherever we go, there's always somebody. There's always somebody else we can pray with. There's always, if we just ask God to show us where, there's always what Scripture calls a remnant. Somebody that He else that He has called as a redemptive agent in that community. And I just very quickly just want us to look at a scripture here about a lady in John chapter 4. Most of us have heard of her. We don't know too much about her history. We've just got this one chapter, literally just John chapter 4, that speaks about her. She's probably a broken woman. We know that out of Jesus had a discussion with her, that she's had many husbands, I think 4 or 5, and the man she's living with now, involved with in a relationship, is not her husband. Probably not the most influential lady in the city or the town that she was from because of her past, because of her background. She probably would have been shunned, most scholars say, so she wasn't the one most well respected. Many people believe, or many scholars believe, that she went out of the city where she was. She went outside to a well that was outside of the well, outside of the city's gates to draw water, because she wasn't really welcome where the other ladies went. So she went kind of, she was a bit of a social outcast in that sense. But Jesus makes a specific point of coming to her and meeting her. And He sets up this divine appointment, this special meeting. He sends His disciples away. They go and they go buy food. It's just Jesus and this woman. And He has a conversation with her. She comes to the point of knowing that Jesus actually reveals one of the very first people that He says, I am the Messiah. He says, I am speaking to you. I am He. So she said, asking about a Messiah who was to come. And that's where we pick up the story. This woman with this powerful, she just had this really powerful encounter with Jesus. And at this point, His disciples came. And they marveled that He talked with a woman. They were like, Jesus, you shouldn't be speaking to a woman. What's going on here? Just not politically correct. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Because you just don't say that to Jesus. Or why are you talking with her? She came out there to draw water, but she's so engulfed in this experience she's had, she's just forgotten the whole purpose of why she walked out, however far it was away from the city she was, to where she came, and she leaves her water pot there. Maybe she was crying like we hear tonight, girls do this, apparently. The woman left her water pot. She didn't need a water pot because there was more than enough water in her eyes. And she went away into the city and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to Him. And in the meantime, His disciples urged Him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But He said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. And just, because there are two concurrent storylines. So there's this woman now who Jesus has been speaking to her. And she's gone into the city and she's told the guys. And now the guys are coming out with her to meet Jesus. And then there's this separate story happening at the same time with Jesus talking to His disciples. And we spent a bit of time a couple of months ago just talking about this passage where Jesus was speaking to His disciples, where He says, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Because they've come to bring Him physical food, and He says, don't worry, my spirit's been eating. I've received sustenance, I've received energy. And you remember we spoke a little bit about this partnership with God thing, spent a couple of weeks on it. And so often we think that serving God is tiring and it takes my energy. If I'm doing what God called me to do, it drains me and it finishes me. Yet Jesus says here, as we carry on just to the next verse there, therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought Him anything to eat? Jesus said, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. My sustenance, my energy, that which keeps me going is to do the work which Jesus has called me. And we spent a bit of time on that early on in the year. And He says, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They are already white for harvest. He who reaps the harvest, Jesus here speaking in the context of evangelism, receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows
and he who reaps may rejoice together. And here we see once again the disciples thinking about the material things, the temporal things, the things of this earth. And Jesus immediately is focused on eternity. He says, you guys are worried about eating and all of this stuff. But there's something inside of me that keeps me driven for eternity. That keeps me going a lot bigger and a lot more than a couple of years here on the earth. And I just want to, and I'm going through this very quickly. Just go back one slide there, please, Johan. Just want to highlight something here because there's something I believe as Christians the devil has come to steal from us. And just, to me, he's been stirring just to bring this element back to Christianity. Because he says that he who reaps receives wages, he gathers fruit for eternal life. What is the purpose of this? That both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice. And I want to say to us as Christians, let's make a point of living lives where we rejoice. Where we have fun. Jesus came for you to have a life. He came for you to have life and to have it abundantly. So I want to encourage you as you wake up in the morning, make a decision. Scripture actually says this, rejoice always. We're going to be singing that song pretty soon. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And I want to encourage us to make that part of our core values, part of the very people we are, or joyful people. Whatever the circumstance, my car's just blowing up, I'm going to rejoice. Why? Because God has saved me and there's a joy inside of me. I'm going to sing another song soon. Joy unspeakable that won't go away. Something inside of me that's stirring up because God has placed joy in me. We were going to do that song tonight, but then the band was a bit thin with everyone having been at Stunnathorn and just one of the songs that really needs drums. It's a big sound. So we'll do it soon. But I want to encourage us. Many of us in life, we walk around tripping over our lip half the day. And as friends and as people in this small group, do them a favor and from time to time, just slap it up for them. Just in love, say, you know, you can pick up your lip. Find something to rejoice about in this, because I promise you there is something to rejoice about. Because Jesus somehow is in this. Even if you have to find the most absurd thing, but just make a culture, a life of rejoicing. I don't know about you, but a friend, we were speaking a while ago, and just, I don't know, one of those random conversations, and just came up speaking about hell and what is hell. And someone said, well, hell's probably just eternity with the stuff you hate the most. So he said, oh, well, then I know exactly what it is. It's eternity counseling people with depression. Now, I don't want to knock you if you struggle with depression. There's grace for that. God wants to save you and He wants to set you free. But you know, no one likes being around a depressive person. Am I wrong? Is there anyone here who enjoys being around depressed people? We'll pray for you because you're a special saint. But you know, I like being around people with smiles on their faces. I like being around people who are having fun and enjoying life. You know, if I get two invitations to go to a braai, and the one is invitation is the person who's always sad, Chad, the Zimbabwean missions people remember that. You know, his lips down here and everything's so big and the fire's too small and the meat's too big. Or there's the guy who's got the two coals but he's enjoying the fry. You know where I'm going to go? I'm going to go where we're going to have fun. So what if the meat's raw? It's fun. You know? And I believe that's something God wants to stir in us again. And I want to encourage you, if you're struggling with depression, if you're struggling with just thoughts, or you struggle to see the joy in life, we want to pray afterwards with you. Because God wants to set you free from that bondage, that slavery of not enjoying life. God has come for us to rejoice. Just wanted to highlight that out there. For in this is Jesus carrying on with the discussion. He says, he wants you to rejoice. For in this the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored. You have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans. So this is back to the other city with a lady who was a Samaritan. So kind of, we're just jumping back to that story. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. She was quite a decent evangelist. If the story were to just stop here and this is all we knew about the story, she would have done pretty well. But you know what I'm so challenged about this woman? She didn't do Bible school. She didn't attend any foundations. She didn't attend courses on counseling and evangelism, preaching sermons of fire or whatever you want to call it. All that happened is she had an encounter with Jesus. She was sitting at the well and she met Jesus. And she went and she shared the very little bit that she had encountered. All she realized was when she was sitting at the well, there was somebody there who demonstrated love to her in a way that she'd never experienced before. And she went back to the city that she came from, where she had a reputation. She went back to the city where the people knew who she was, to the community. But God had set her up as a redemptive agent for that entire city. God realized that if I can just get this woman and turn her heart on for my love, the whole city will come to know me. The whole city will come to know the glory of Jesus Christ. And we see exactly that if we could just pop that up there again. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. Is it because they'd seen the mighty miracles that he was doing? Is it because Jesus had come and preached to them at that stage? No, not at all. Why? Because of the word of the woman who testified. And I want to encourage you, don't know if you can see them, but there are a whole bunch of lines, masking tape on the stage here. And I'm standing on one of those lines. It's a story I use often, but it's so powerful. Maybe I'll do it this way. Just imagine another line here. You know, if you're standing here and your family or your friends or your colleagues or whatever they may be are alongside you, and you have an encounter with Jesus, he teaches you one thing. He shows you just one step. You don't have to be at the finish line, out the door, down the corridor, in the kids' play area to be able to turn around to show them one step. And a couple of weeks ago, I started speaking about this Testimony Tuesday thing. And I'm serious about it. Who's applied it a little bit? A couple of you. And the idea is very simply, the fact and the matter is, and the reality is that we serve a God who is alive and at work in our lives. And He has called us, I believe, many of us to be redemptive agents wherever we go. And the only reason the people aren't being redeemed is because we're not sharing. Not preaching at them. Not telling them what they're doing wrong and how they must change their lives. I love this woman. Did she go and preach 10 sermons at them, telling them to repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Turn from your wicked sin. No. She just went and shared the experience that she had had with Jesus. And this evening, I so love just all of you guys coming up, right? Because all of those were just encounters and experiences of God. And I want to encourage us as a church to begin to live a lifestyle where we don't just share them here, but we share them everywhere we go, where we're not ashamed of the name of Jesus. If we're sitting in McDonald's talking to the lady behind the thingy counter till while she's making your McFlurry, tell her about the goodness of Jesus in your life. If God's given you a breakthrough, why don't you just buy her a McFlurry as well? Because you can. Just show her that there's actually somebody interested in her life. Standing in the queue and Pick and Pay, walking to class with your friend, sitting in the business meeting or waiting for the boss to arrive for the meeting and you're chatting about your weekend. How was your weekend? It was incredible. My friends and I have been praying for this church in Stanerton for the last, however long, 3 years. And this weekend, a whole bunch of us went and it was just amazing to see a school hall filled with people hungry for Jesus. My wife and I have been struggling with this thing and we've been praying. And you know, Saturday afternoon, God came through and He gave us the break. I didn't know how I was going to get into the course I was going to study. But now I am, because God opened the door for me. Just in the habit of sharing, just like this woman, going and actively looking for places to share what God has done in our lives. She was a pretty decent evangelist with no training, just an encounter with Jesus. And this story carries on. So when the Samaritans had come into him, would come to him, to Jesus, because she went and called them, and then they believed, and then they actually came out. They urged him to stay with him. So they came and they invited Jesus in to them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him. And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." You know, if you go and look at scripture, these are the first people to mention that. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Much later on in the story, the apostle Peter's lights go on. And Jesus says, "But who do you say I am?" And he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." These people realized it long before the apostle Peter. And what was the key to them getting it? The woman. Not the woman who'd spent years with Jesus, the woman who had an encounter with Jesus and ran with that encounter. And then what I so love about it is, for everyone else in the city, it didn't stay at the encounter that the woman had, but her encounter was the trigger for them to come and receive too. For them to come and to meet Jesus in person. For them to come and they have their lives changed by the radical love of the Christ, the Savior of the world. Every one of you, as you sat here, Jesus saved you because he loves you, yes. Because he cares for you passionately. But I also believe he saved you with a specific purpose to reach your family, your friends, your company, your class. And it's not about being heavy. It's not about this heavy weight that we're meant to carry out of here. It's just an understanding to know that God has blessed me with so much. And the ladies, you should be really good at this. That's probably why Jesus went to a woman. All I need to do is talk. All I need to do is tell someone. This weekend at Stanhope, when we were standing there and got a hold of a ball, and we didn't have a cricket bat, so we found a plank, literally just like a bowling plank, and started hitting the praying cricket, hitting to each other there. And at one stage, we hit the ball up at screen and went to a bunch of girls and looked at me. Said, "You know, they understand it now. Our faces and what's going on there amongst the guys hitting the ball is like when the girls are having a really deep emotional conversation. It's the same thing. We're like into this ball thing and we're excited and it's great and it's awesome. And that's what it's like when the girls get chatting." And that's probably why Jesus went to a woman. But the reality is, it's not hard. It's something we do every day of our lives, all the time. And when someone says to Melanie, "Melanie, for 5 months you've got to keep quiet," that's almost like hell on earth. Because as humans, we're wired to talk. And Jesus isn't coming to all of us saying, "I want you to go and preach to 10,000 people. He's just saying, tomorrow morning when you go to class, share about the goodness of God in your life. Put a status update on Facebook. Put it on Twitter, whatever it is. But share that experience. Make it real for the people around you who haven't experienced it. The people who weren't at the well when Jesus was there testifying about life, you can take an element of that to them. And the Holy Spirit will go with you. 3 very quick points before we're done. Our secret weapon. I was going to spend a bit of time on this, but we're way out of time. Revelation 12. So the great dragon was cast out. That serpent of old, called the devil and Satan. 2 separate names for the same guy who deceives the whole world. How's that for a scary thought? But anyway, he was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren," that's exactly what devil means. It's enemy, it's accuser. The one who comes to tell you you're not good enough, you're not able, you're not worth, and you're not, except that Jesus has made you so you are. Who accused them before our God day and night. He's been cast away. And they, who's they? They are those who had been accused. They are those who had been suffering the accusations of the devil and of Satan. They overcame him. Yes, the blood of the Lamb the power of the cross of Jesus, but also by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. I love the power that God has given us right here. This thing here, it says, is like the tongue is like a fire. You know, see how big a fire, a little forest kindles. James writes. Proverbs 21 verse 18 says, death and life are in the power of your tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. And most of the time we contextualize that and we say, it goes about my confession, and that's true. Am I confessing life or am I speaking death over my life? That's true. But you know, in an eternal context, it's the same. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your friends, your colleagues, your family. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Are you testifying about the goodness that God has done in your life? Look to your neighbor and say, I'm an agent. I'm like 007. You know, Chuck Batowski. Just the next slide there. We've got that Proverbs 18, 21. Proverbs 21, 18. 18, 21 for you guys to just write down if you want. But I want to encourage us about this Testimony Tuesday thing. It's not about Tuesday as much as it's about testimony. And if I were to opt those of us who came up this evening to share testimony, to ask how many of you have shared that with somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus. I'm not going to ask you to do that because I think most of us would be sitting on our hands. And it's encouraging and it's great for us as believers as it is to hear that. You know how powerful it is when we take that out there? When we take it to the streets and to the family and to the workplace. When we take it to our community. The goodness of God in our lives. It's His kindness, Scripture says, that leads us to repentance. So I want to encourage us every time, I'm going to say this over and over again because some words are going to stick. Every time you hear the word Tuesday, the Holy Spirit is going to say, testimony. And you're going to wake up and you look in your diary and it's going to be Tuesday and you're going to, testimony today. And it's not about sharing the testimony on Tuesday, but it's about starting somewhere. And my prayer is that we'll just cultivate a lifestyle where everywhere we go, we're talking about the goodness of Jesus. Yes, it's a struggle. Yes, it was hard. Yes, it was rough. But God. Like a friend of mine the other day, yes, he lost his unborn child. But God. God is so good in the midst of the tragedy because His goodness reaches from never ending to never ending. Testifying about the goodness and the joy that He has given us. Because the world out there doesn't know it, but God's given it to us right here. And the key to letting it go is right here. Testimony Tuesday. However the Holy Spirit leads you, but I want to encourage you, find someone to share something about the goodness of God with on Tuesday. And if it's Monday and the opportunity is there, take it too. And Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. But I know for many of us, it's like a big challenge. Oh, I've got to have to go tell someone about the goodness of God. And I understand that. So let's start on Tuesday. And you'll see, hey, this is actually pretty cool and pretty easy. And then take it from there. The same as this isn't really church. You guys know that. Just as an aside. Everyone knows this isn't church. Anyone who didn't know that yet, now you know this isn't church. Michal's description is the best that I've ever heard about what's happening here. It's a team talk. You know, just before you go play a big game, like a Curry Cup final yesterday. Sorry, Viapia. I think it stands for whipping. But anyway. You know, before you play the game, you know what you do? Everyone comes together in a little huddle and you decide, okay, this is what we're going to do. Okay, guys, let's go. You good at this? You good at this? Okay, guys, come. Ooh, you're a little bit sore. Let's strap it up. Okay, great. Everyone ready? And then what do? Then we go out and we play the game. You know what this is? This is the team talk. This is the coming together, sharing about the goodness and strategizing and planning and praying for one another and encouraging. And where is it meant to happen? Out there. When we're not here. But I know my friend's got my back. My small group's praying for me. I'm going to go minister to my mom this weekend. I'm trusting her to get saved. But it's okay because I'm going on Saturday. Three of the guys in my small group said they'd fast with me on Saturday. So it's going to be okay. God's with us. My back's covered. Team effort. The first one, how do we do this testimony of Jesus thing? Well, the first one was we use our mouth, which sometimes doesn't work when the tongue gets dry. But apparently ladies have got like extra spit glands or something because their tongue doesn't get dry. You can just go, and like Pac-Man, you know. But testimony, using a mouth, very quickly, two more things just to be alert of. Testifying about the goodness of God. Matthew 5, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Preached about this a while ago as well. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. People are meant to look at us and say, why is she so nice? Why did he buy her a McFlurry? He doesn't even know her. Why did he smile and take the time to just say, I hope you have a good day? You're working a late shift tonight if you go to Kentucky afterwards. Lady's probably working till 10, 11 at night, then she has to somehow find a way home. Probably not earning very much, and maybe she's one of those working just to put a kid through school. And somebody actually just cares. Somebody just actually looks differently and values the life that's at work here. Let our light so shine. And that's one of the reasons we do this Keep Wicked thing, because I believe Jesus would want us to look after those orphans. One, because he cares about them. And two, because he wants people, he wants his name glorified because of the great work his church is doing. And we're not doing it to be seen. Scripture's clear about that as well. But the reality is we will be seen. You can't feed 1,000 AIDS orphans without anybody seeing. But our plan isn't to have them see. Our plan is to glorify God, to feed the kids. And God will make sure people see what needs to be seen. That's also why we're doing the community week at the end of the year, just aside. Why? Because there's a whole community in police stations and hospitals. We drive past every day. When something goes wrong, we run there. We need them. Let's just take time out to say thank you. And what can we do for you? What do we get from it? Nothing. Except the opportunity and the privilege to serve. Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. The Diarise Community Week, if you haven't yet. Once again, the goodness shouldn't be limited to the structured church activities. The structured, organized church activities should simply be there to cultivate that lifestyle. And then lastly, first one was testify, use our mouth. Second one was do the good works so people can glorify our Father in heaven. And the third one, pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Normally we read verse 3 and 4, so normally it would be 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, but I just want to place the context of what Paul is saying we must pray here for. He's praying to Timothy and he says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable. What is this? This prayer being made. Why is it good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior? Because he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So what are we praying for all men? Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayer, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men. What are we primarily praying for? For them to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. For them to come to a knowledge of the goodness of Jesus. So this evening, it's very simple. I'm going to ask the band to come up. I know we've been very long. This evening, I just want to encourage us more than anything else. I want to say that you, Chuck Patowski, or special agent of your choice, and you've got a secret weapon that nobody else knows about. You know what the secret weapon is? This guy here. I want to encourage you, let's go out and use it. If we're going to talk, let's talk about the goodness of God. If we're going to talk rather than curse the president or the Springboks election or whatever it may be, let's use it to talk about the goodness of Jesus. Rather than saying how useless that lecturer is, talk about the goodness of Jesus because the privilege I have to sit at this university and to study. Rather than cursing my boss, use it to say about the goodness of God because He gave me this job. I didn't have a job and I prayed and God opened the door and I've got a job, praise the Lord. Tell everyone about the goodness of God in our lives. So I'm going to ask us to stand just as we close. Lord, I want to thank You this evening, God, for every person who's been here, Lord. God, thank You for those who made the effort, Lord, even to drive specifically through from Standerton early to be in church. God, I pray to bless them in this week. Lord, those who had other engagements and moved them around to be here, those who walked through the rain to be here, Jesus. God, we pray that You would just bless them, God, even in the week, God, for their diligence in seeking Your face. God, I pray for every one of us that as we go from here this evening, Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that You would cause our tongues to burn. Lord, literally, physically, God, that there's something on our tongues, Lord God, burning about the goodness of Jesus, Lord, that within our belly, God, we wouldn't be able to keep quiet anymore. Lord, like a David Crowder song says, God, I will not keep silent anymore. God, for many of us, Lord, and including myself, God, I want to repent, Lord, for being quiet, God, for keeping silent. For experiencing You, God, having these amazing encounters. And thinking, God, it's just for me and it's about me. When, Lord, all You want is to share it with the people around us, God. And I pray for wisdom for everyone here to know what to say and when to say it and how to communicate it in love and in truth. God, I pray that You open doors for us in this week to do good. That our eyes would be open for opportunities, God, to do good for the sake of just doing good. Giving sacrificially and freely, whatever it may be. While our eyes are closed, heads are bowed. Special group of people we want to pray with this evening. If you hear this evening, and you say, Philip, this is all good and well, but I don't even know if I have a relationship with Jesus. I've heard about Him. Do you know these testimonies and these things everyone's saying, they're not real in my life. Because I've never experienced, I haven't had this encounter with Jesus. If that's you, then wherever you are, I'd love to pray with you. Can you just quickly raise your hand? Say, that's me, Philip. Please pray with me. I want to meet this Jesus who does good. Who's interested in my life? Is anyone like that? Just raise your hand nice and high. I can see you. Nothing to be embarrassed about. Then I also want to pray for those who God so convicted you this evening about being ashamed of the name of Jesus. I want to pray with you because God wants to set you free from that. That's an assignment from the devil himself to come and keep you down because God got so much joy in eternity that he who reaps and he who sows may rejoice together. God wants you to come to this place of rejoicing. And the enemy's had this heaviness, this ashamedness of Jesus and you felt so bad of it and you've been ashamed that you've been ashamed. And Jesus wants to come and set you free and He wants to say to you, rejoice, my name. And He wants to wipe away the shame and say there's nothing to be ashamed about. He wants to set you free and make you whole so that you can enjoy the joy that He has prepared for you. So as we close, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And then specifically as well, if you need physical healing, if your body is sore, pain, hurt, sick, whatever, come forward. The God we serve, as you heard so many testimonies tonight, He's willing and able to heal. We want to pray with you. So God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome week. If you need to go, you're welcome to go. Remember about Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday. There's coffee and there's tea outside. You're welcome to join us if you're visiting specifically. The band's going to carry on worshiping. You're welcome to stay and just worship or go if you need to. But if you need prayer, please come forward. We want to pray with you this morning. Especially if you put your hand up just now to meet Jesus. Please don't go without us praying for you first. Just come forward and we're going to pray with you. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week. Enjoy small group in the week, and next Sunday we'll talk church. Amen.